have 52 verses to cover. I actually left out the discussion of Asa in the Book of Kings, because the Book of Kings says that in its conclusion, it says that it's the events of Asa are recorded in the Chronicles. And so as I went through my study, I realized it's too many verses to deal with the whole thing. So let's just deal with the story in Chronicles. Asa, you'll see up here on the screen, is a representation of him in a coin that was probably fairly authentic. I don't know, because we don't know anything about him other than that. How many people would like to actually be in my position right now to share with us what you know about Asa? Anybody want to do it? All right, thanks. I'm going to tell you something. Every one of us should know who Asa is. Every one of us should say, oh yeah, Asa was the man who brought the first revival to the children of Israel. Okay, the first revival that occurred in the Bible occurred with this man, Asa. He should be one of our champions. And when I was asked to speak on him, the only thing I knew is his name was spelled A-S-A. And I thought, isn't that awful? Asa. He's in Judah. Now, on this little map, you will see the where the children of Israel lived. It's split. It was a divided kingdom at the time Asa was king. He was the king of the south, the sort of the greeny area there. And the blue, the north, was the kingdom of Israel, and the south was called the kingdom of Judah. He was the king of Judah. And they didn't get along very well together. As a matter of fact, they actually would go to war with each other, and they were a threat to one another, and there was a lot of bad feeling. In the north, there were 20 kings, and none of them honored the Lord. In the south, in Judah, there were 22 leaders or rulers, of which Asa was one. You'll see his name in the list there. And there were five of them who honored the Lord. Five of them who actually pleased the Lord in what they did in their lifetime. Asa, Jehoshaphat, Joash, I believe you pronounce it, Hezekiah, and Josiah. The rest, five of the others, and I won't get into them, but there were five of the others were pretty good kings, and the rest were not. They lived for themselves and not for the Lord. And it showed in the way the kingdom was run. So if we look at it carefully, we'll see here that he was Asa of Judah. He was of the house of David. He's of the cadet branch of the tribe of Judah. And this is rather interesting. When he was king of the south, those names, which I won't pronounce, I have trouble with names. I can't even remember names, let alone. I think I'll remember Asa, though. The kings, Jeroboam, Nebat, Baasha, which we will hear about Baasha in tonight a little bit more, Elah, Zimri, Omri, and Ahab. How did we do? Well, we got through it anyway. But those men all were kings when Asa was king. And that meant some of them died. Asa reigned for 41 years. You'll see it there, 1912, and you look forward to 1871. He lived and reigned for 41 years. His father was Abijam. Now, Abijam reigned as the king for 3 years. And he was just awful. And he had nothing to do with God. He didn't want anything to do with God. And God allowed him to reign for 3 years. Asa honored God in his life and all that he did and reigned for 41 years. And all those other kings in the north came and went while he was king, because he honored God. He was eventually succeeded by Jehoshaphat. Someone else's talk someday. Now, usually when you give a talk, you do a summary at the end, but I'm doing it at the beginning. Because I want you to think about the revival that went on. And revivals are very difficult. Our pastor has been going and teaching with us for how long? 2 years almost now? On Sunday nights about revival. Revival is a tough road. It's not an easy road. And in order to get down the road, there had to be some bridges that had to be crossed. And I have identified with four of them here. I want you to think about it as we go through the story. The study of the Word of God is one of the bridges you have to have. You have to study the Word of God. Now, how do you study the Word of God? Well, some of us go to school. Some of us go to seminaries. Some of us go to Bible institutes. Some of us go to our room and open up our Bibles and start studying. And that's where it happens. And when you study the Bible, and if you're really earnest and you want revival, I would suggest that you should study at least 5 to 8 hours a day. Okay? Now that sounds kind of unbelievable, but I had a pastor that I worked with for a number of years, and he would study his Bible at least 4 to 5 hours a day. And he would study and meditate on the Bible at 1 and 2 verses for hours. Okay? If you want to change your life, you've got to study the Word of God. And that will be one of the bridges that has to be crossed for revival. Second, prayer of faith. Lots of praying. We'll see that Asa prayed. Third bridge, separation. Oh, Bill, is this a favorite topic of yours? It's a tough topic to talk about separation. And we have misguided separations. And I'll talk about that when I get to it, if I can possibly hold that clock up. Maybe we could pull a battery, eh? Because we've got quite a bit of stuff to talk about. But I'd love to talk a little bit about separation because it's important in your life. And it's in your life that you separate, not in the lives of others that you try to direct. It is you right here where separation begins and ends. And lastly, from faith to faith, let's get on with our talk and we'll look a little bit more at this. Can we go with this? Come on, go. You better help me. Which one? There's 4 or 5 here. I shut it right off. So that's lovely. Eh? All right. All right. There we go. Is that what I wanted? Let me go back. I don't know. It's not doing it. Which one? You know. I maybe turned it off. Let's go here. Boy, we're going to get it. That's the one. Let's go there. Just this one here?
Yeah, just push that one.
Be careful. All right, I'll try it. We'll see how we do. If you take your Bibles if you want, or it's up on the screen, and that's why I haven't opened my Bible, because I put it all on the screen. We're going to go up all the verses on the screen. So let's go and read. So Abijah rested with his fathers. That's Asa's father. He died, and he buried him in the city of David. And then Asa, his son, reigned in his place, and in his days, the land was quiet for 10 years. We're going to find out that it was longer than 10 years. But for 10 years to begin with, there was peace in the land. Asa did what was good and right in the eyes of the Lord his God. Now, let me ask you, would you like to have that kind of a testimony from God? That you did good? You were good, and you were right in the eyes of God, the Lord your God. For he removed the altars of the foreign gods. Now, he was king, remember? He had a position that none of us actually have. I can't go out tonight and remove all the gods in this country. I'm not the king. I'm not even the prime minister. I'm not even a member of our local party. Let's look at it. But he removed the altars of the foreign gods and the high places, and he broke down the sacred pillars, and he cut down the wooden images. Now, I was going to show you some of the images, and they are so gross, they're not going to be seen tonight. Because those were obscene articles, okay? If I was to show you what was going on there and what were in the high places, you would go, oh my goodness, he showed us those things? Whoa. That's how it was. And he recognized those gods. Now, we're more sophisticated, but we have gods in our country too. Some of us polish and shine them every week. And I get criticized for cleaning my truck. In fact, someone actually put dirt on my truck. One day I come out here and it was dirt on my truck. Forgive me, Lord, if it's an idol. But there are many idols in our country. Some of us sit in front of our idol for 4 to 6 hours and watch CNN and MSNBC and whatever. Some of it is disgraceful. The idol is turned on in the morning and it runs all day. And some of it is not so good. And then some of us have those laptops, and do I need to tell you what you can see on them? Not so good. They're idols. We have them. In the Bible, how do you get an idol? I thought it was kind of neat. Lately, we were discussing in one of our group, in our small group, the creation of an idol. It's the simplest thing. Couldn't believe it. You cut down a tree, and you cut down the tree, and you cut the thing up, and you cut it into lengths. And what do you do with the tree? Well, you chop it up a little bit, and you build a fire, and it keeps you warm. Oh, that's good. Nothing wrong with that. But then, you have that nice hot fire. Well, you could cook something on it, couldn't you? So you cook something on it, and that's pretty good too. And of course, there's a few sticks lying around on the ground, and you reach over and you pick one up and you get your knife out and you start carving. And before long, you carve something out of it. And oh my goodness, it's an image. And it can become rather interesting. And that idol becomes like, whoa, that's pretty nice, eh? Let's put it up on the mantle. And before long, you can start to worship and you can bow down to that idol, which is a piece of the wood you started off with all good intentions. And it says that they bowed down to that idol and they worshiped that idol. And they would say to the idol, deliver us. My goodness. Have you got anything in your life that started off simple? And then it became an idol. And you've got to clear out the idols. He did. And he commanded Judah to seek the Lord of their fathers and to observe the law, the written law, the laws of Moses, and the commandment. They had to study the word. The nation had to study the word. And when the nation started to study the word, it changed them. And if we could get our nation to study God's word, it would change this country. If we could get the world to start studying God's word, it would change the country. I stood with someone just recently and said, would you consider reading one verse a day? And the answer was absolutely not. You know why? Because it might change that person. To read one verse a day. How many verses a day do you read? Study the word. Let's go again. Can we get it going? Here we go. Number, verse 5. Why, we got a lot more verses too. He also removed the high places and the incense altars from all the cities of Judah. He continued to do that. And the kingdom was quiet under him. And he built fortified cities in Judah. And the land had rest. He had no wars in those years because the Lord gave him rest. The Lord honored his faithfulness. Therefore, he said to Judah, let us build these cities and make walls all around them, and towers and gates and bars, while the land is yet before us. Well, when it's peacetime, let's prepare at least so that we can protect ourselves. Because there were enemies beyond the borders where they lived. Because we sought the Lord our God, we have sought him, and he has given us rest on every side. So they built and they prospered. North America has prospered beyond imagination. We were built on the premise we came here. Many of the people came here in to escape, to be free. America was known for that. Canada has also been known for that, to be free. To be able to pursue the desires of your heart, to read scripture, to be free to express yourself. All of those things were the premise on which we were built. And the Lord honored us, and the Lord has prospered us. And what are we doing now? I remember being in the high schools when I was teaching, and I was brought into a meeting. And the principal said to us, you can no longer have inter-school Christian fellowship during the daytime in this school. In fact, we can't mention the name of God in our morning prayers anymore. Well, let me tell you, when my aunt here was 100, did you ever use the Bible when you taught school? Yeah. Many of the days started with scripture reading. Now it's gone. As we prospered, we have removed. And that was the situation he had faced there. They removed the God from them. But anyway, as Asa had an army, listen, he had an army. He was a peaceful man, but he had an army. Oh, that sounds interesting. He had an army of 300,000. And they carried shields and spears. Okay? They were outfitted with shields and spears. 300,000 men in uniform. And from Benjamin, which was a part of the kingdom as well, 280,000 men who carried shields and drew bows and arrows. So these guys were ready for war. But the land was at peace. You don't throw away your protection in times of peace. You must be prepared. The enemy will eventually come to your door. But God gave them peace. All of these were mighty men of valor. Now comes the fun. Then Zerah, the Ethiopian, came out against them with an army of how many? 1,000,000. 1,000,000 men. And they had 300 chariots. Oh, not bows and arrows. This was a little more sophisticated gang. And they came with 300 chariots. They came to Marasha. Now, Marasha is where, just south of Jerusalem, where they gathered this large army. So, Asa went out against him. And he set the troops in battle in array in the valley. Okay? Now, they came from Cush, which is actually Ethiopia. Now, this map isn't quite right. It should go further south because Ethiopia was a lot further south. And a whole 1,000,000 army of men and 300 chariots gathered to fight in the valley of Zephthah. And that was kind of what it kind of looked like, except there was 300 chariots and there were 1,000,000 men. Now, he had how many men? 580,000. So he was outnumbered. I'm sure the Ethiopian was quite confident as he headed north. Let's see what happened. Asa cried out to the Lord, and I love his prayer. He said, Lord, it's nothing for you to help. I love that start. Hey, that is so neat. He didn't say, hey, come and help us. He says, it's nothing for you, God, to help us. Nothing. And then he goes on. Where with many or with those who have no power? You can go to the ones who have lots of people, or you can go to the ones that have no power at all. Help us, O Lord God, our God, for we rest in you. I'm putting my trust and my faith in you, is what he's saying. And in your name, we go. We go. We're not going to sit still. We got 580,000 of us. We're not going to sit still, but we go with against the multitude. Okay? Oh, Lord, you are our God. And I love the way he concludes it. Do not let man prevail against you. Do you realize what he did when he said that? He took those many military men of might that he had, and he now made them God's army. Not his army. He made them God's army. Ephesians said something that was kind of important to me and has been one of my favorite verses. And when I look at situations that are getting tough and difficult, and I'm sure our pastor here can tell me that there were days in his life and his experience that have been tough. And especially when people say nasty things and you start feeling that you're wrestling with flesh and blood, with other people, it's so important to go to this verse. Ephesians 6 and 12, we do not wrestle against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against rulers of the darkness of this age. People, there is so much rulers of the darkness of this age in which we live, it boggles my mind because I can see it all the time. There's power out there that wants to destroy every Christian work. If you listen to TV news, you'll hear it. They want to stop us. There is a court case going on this month in British Columbia where we will be told we cannot read parts of the gospel or parts of the Bible because they offend some people in this land. The warfare is not with flesh and blood. It is in the elements above us. The spiritual warfare that goes on that you and I can't even see. That's where it's happening. Against spiritual hosts of wickedness in heavenly places. That's where the enemy is. That's where the warfare occurs. And Asa understood that, and he prayed to God, and he said, you can do nothing, or you can help us, just as you would help those who have lots of army or no army. You can do it. But we put our faith in you, God. It's in you that we place our faith. Remember that verse, and you watch, and you will see that the defeat comes in the spiritual realm, not man to man. Men get involved, the mess goes on, but the reality is at the spiritual level. So we pray by faith. We put faith in, and that's what Asa did. And Asa cried out to the Lord. We ought to do the same thing. So the Lord struck the Ethiopians, this was the result, before Asa and Judah and the Ethiopians, they fled. And Asa and the people who were with him pursued them to Jerah. So the Ethiopians were overthrown, and they could not recover, for they were broken, get it? They were broken, this million-man army with their 300 chariots. They were broken before the Lord and his army. Not Asa's army. Not Benjamin's army. The Lord's army. That's where the battle was fought. And they carried away much spoils. They got a lot of stuff out of this deal. Why it goes on, they defeated all the cities of Jericho, for the fear of the Lord came upon them, and they plundered all those cities, and there was exceedingly much spoil. They had tremendous wealth that they gained as a result of that confrontation. They also attacked the livestock enclosures. Well, when you're there, you might as well take what you can get, eh? And they carried off sheep and camels in abundance, and they returned to Jerusalem. Now, the Spirit of God came upon Azariah, the son of Oded. Azariah was a prophet. And he went out to meet Asa, and he said to him, "Hear me, Asa, and all Judah and Benjamin. The Lord is with you while you are with him. If you seek him, he will be found by you. But listen, Asa, if you forsake him, he will forsake you." This works two ways, Asa. You go for him, he's with you. You go against him, he'll go against you. He will forsake you. For a long time, Israel had been out without the true God, without the teaching of the priests, without preachers, and without the law. They had not read the scriptures. But when they were in trouble, they turned to the Lord, the God of Israel, and sought him, and he was found by them. You know, that's an encouraging verse. If you're in trouble and you need help, he's listening for you. He wants you to come to him and ask for help. And in those times, there was no peace to the one who went out nor the one who came in. But great turmoil was upon the inhabitants of the land. So the nation was destroyed by nation and city by city, for God troubled them with great adversity. But this is a wonderful verse. "But you be strong and do not let your hands be weak, for your work shall be rewarded." Asa, if you work at it in honoring the Lord, you will be rewarded. It also says a similar thing in the New Testament in Corinthians 15, 58. "Therefore, my beloved brethren, be steadfast, immovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, knowing that your labor is not in vain in the Lord." Sometimes it's tough to do the Lord's work. Sometimes it's not convenient. Sometimes you just like to throw in the towel and say, "Oh, what am I doing this for?" But the Lord says, your labor is not in vain. So we've got to keep on going. And when Asa heard these words of the prophet Oded, he took courage and he removed the abominable idols. Again, he had to go back and clear out the land. For the land of Judah and Benjamin, and from the cities for which he had taken in the mountains of Ephraim, and he restored the altar of the Lord that was before the vestibule of the Lord. And then he gathered all Judah and Benjamin, and those who dwelt with them from Ephraim, Manasseh, and Simeon. Now, if you knew your Bible, you would find out that those three places were in the north in Israel. The people were coming south. And he gathered all Judah and Benjamin and those who dwelt from Ephraim, Manasseh, and Simeon. They came over to him in great numbers from the north, Israel, when they saw that the Lord his God was with him. When they recognized that he was doing the right thing, they said, "Let's move. Let's go south. Let's join him." And they did. So they gathered together at Jerusalem in the third month and in the 15th year. And they offered to the Lord at that time 700 bulls and 7,000 sheep as an offering from the spoils that they had brought from the south when they were in the wars. And they entered into a covenant to seek the Lord God of their fathers with all their hearts and with all their souls. Does that sound like a verse we had to memorize? They sought the Lord with all their heart, with all their souls. Imagine a nation doing that. And whoever would not seek the Lord, this is the tough part, who would not seek the Lord God of Israel was to be put to death. Woo. Put to death, whether small or great, whether man or woman. No difference. He put this rule into place because he was the king. If you don't go along with this, you can be put to death. I don't know whether he put anybody to death. I think he didn't. I'm not sure. But that was the sincerity with which he went through to honor the Lord. He went that far by saying, okay, you don't do it, I'll put you to death. Strong stuff, people. And then he took an oath before the Lord. And then they took an oath before the Lord with a loud voice, the shouting and the trumpets and the rams. And all Judah rejoiced at the oath, for they had sworn with, again, all their heart and sought him with all their soul. And he was found by them, and the Lord gave them rest all around. They were rewarded. Revival. They had revival. Now this comment about separation. Separation, in my understanding of it, is not that I'm going to go over there and say, okay, Harry, you look what you've been doing over there. You gotta deal with that, Harry. You better get out of here. You know, you gotta. All I do is I say, okay, I go downtown. Oh, look at that, whatever. I don't like that particular thing they're doing there. Better close that down. That's not separation. That's imposing on other people your standard. Your standard should be when you go into your room and you stand in your room, you close the door, and you draw a circle on the floor, and you stand in the middle of the circle and you say, Lord, separate me from all of this, and I will honor you. And you deal with yourself, because let me tell you, you got enough problems within yourself to deal with, to be separated from him. To be separated, you can, if you don't find separation in your life, you'll just end up being like the world and doing everything else the world does. And you can't go out and fix the world. I often thought it was rather interesting. Jesus would give a cup of water to one, and he would go and talk to a woman at the well. And he went other places around the country, and he almost always spoke to one or two people at a time. Then he talked to the multitudes and gave them some wonderful beatitudes and comments. But the bottom line was, he didn't go out with an army and destroy the Romans and all of the things that were going on. No. He wanted people to make their own decision for him. And so it was. And now there comes a little bit of an interesting thing that happened here. Also, he removed Mamaka. I don't know how to say it. Mamaka. Who is Mamaka? Well, it was his mother of Esau, the king, from being queen. Now, this is kind of like separation at home. He removed his mother. Hey, have you ever heard of motherhood? You know, you never do anything against your mother. Oh, no. That's a terrible thing. Can you imagine where politicians would be at if they put their mother out of the house? Because she had made an obscene image of Asher. One of those things I didn't want to show you. Go online if you're really interested. Type in Asher and you'll see some images there. You'll see why they were upset and why they needed to be destroyed and why they needed to be cut down. And Asher cut down her obscene image and he crushed it and he burned it. And he set her aside. She couldn't be an influence in the kingdom because she was an idolatress. She was in idolatry and he didn't want it in his family. But I noticed that he didn't put her to death, okay? But the high places were not removed from Israel, from the north. Those things still were there. The idolatry of the north was still there. But listen how nice this is. Nevertheless, the heart of Asa was loyal all his days. Now we got a, oh my goodness, we're just, isn't this terrible? He also brought the house of God he also brought into the house of God things that his father had dedicated, and he himself dedicated silver and gold. He put all these riches into the house of God. Okay? And there was no war until the 35th year of his 41-year reign. Now, there's a verse that I need to share with in Romans. Romans 1:16, "For I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God to salvation for everyone who believes, for the Jew first and also for the Greek." Common verse we all know, but we don't go to the next verse very often. But listen what the next verse says. "For it, in it the righteousness of God is revealed from faith to faith." Now I'm going to ask you to come with me on this. From faith to faith. This is the only place, I think, in the Bible you'll see this. From faith to faith. Because what does it mean? It means I have faith in the Lord Jesus. I put my trust in him and my life begins anew. But then there are problems come into my life. And I have struggles with those things. And I have to reach out to him again in faith. From faith to faith. And then there are issues in life. Marriages that are broken. Families that are broken. Children that are disobedient. All kinds of issues come into our lives. And the only thing we can do is take those to the Lord in faith. And say, "Lord, I need this. I want this. I intercede for whoever." That is faith. And that faith has to continue through your life, Aunt Joan, until the day you die, right? It goes on and on and on, doesn't it? It doesn't end when you become saved. And some of us have some idea that when we got saved, that all the world was going to be great. But it isn't that way. The reality is you have to live from faith to faith to continue the level of righteousness that you sought for your life. You must continue it. The just shall live their lives by faith, not just in Jesus for salvation. Got it? Well, let's talk about Asa. I have all these verses that I'd love to comment on, and I think the time is just about done. And I'm going to tell you about Asa rather than read all these verses. Because what happens with Asa is that he gets another chance at following the advice of a prophet. Okay? And he also has a problem with the kingdom in the north. The kingdom in the north built a building, or was building buildings in the south, to stop the flow of people from going to Judah. And he got worried about. He got worried about it. And what he did was he decided that he would go to the Syrian king. To the king of Syria, and he decided that he would talk to him and make a deal with him. He would pay him off with the money and the treasury of the church or the temple, and he would pay off the Syrian to go to battle against Israel in the north. And so that happened. And Hananiah, the seer, came to Asa, the king of Judah, and said to him in verse 7, "Because you have relied on the king of Syria, and you've not relied on the Lord your God, therefore the army of the king of Syria has escaped your hand." You've lost the battle with the king of Syria. You made a deal with him. You paid him off. Were the Ethiopians and Lubin not a huge army with very many chariots and horsemen? Yet because you relied on the Lord, he delivered your hand. For the eyes of the Lord run to and fro throughout the whole earth to show himself strong on behalf of those whose heart is loyal to him. Oh, I wish you could put a line under that verse somewhere in your Bible and read it and think about it. The Lord is going to and fro throughout the earth to show himself strong on behalf of those whose heart is loyal to him. Asa, you're not loyal to him. In this you have done foolishly. Therefore, from now on, you shall have wars. Then Asa was angry with the seer, and he put him in prison, for he was enraged because of it. And Asa oppressed the people. Note that the acts of Asa, first and last, were indeed written in the book of Judah and Israel. And in the 39th year of his 41 years, Asa became diseased in his feet. I believe he had leprosy in his feet. I have to be careful how I say these things now, because these are important. Because it looks like he made a mistake. Yet in his disease, he did not seek the Lord, but the physicians. Okay, so he went to the doctors and he said, "Doctors, I got this problem in my feet. Could you fix it?" Nothing wrong with going to the doctor. What was wrong was he didn't go to the Lord and say, "Lord, help me. I'm going to the doctor. Can you help the doctor too?" So Asa rested with his fathers. He died. I imagine he died of gangrene from the feet up. Can't think of anything worse. Poison coming up your legs, eventually poisoning your heart and killing you. It took 2 years. And they buried him in his tomb, and they had made for him, for himself, in the city of David. And they laid him in the bed, which was filled with spices and various ingredients prepared in a mixture of ointment. And they made a great burning for him. They probably burned many candles for Asa, because he had been a good man when he died. How great thou art. Listen, one of the most encouraging verses that I found in this whole thing was right there. Chronicles 16, verse 9. Write it down. For the eyes of the Lord run to and fro throughout the whole earth. And that's happening today. What is he looking for? He's looking for those to show himself strong on behalf of those whose heart is loyal to him. Is your heart loyal to him tonight? Have you got some issues in your life you have to deal with? He's looking for you, and he wants to help you, and he wants to show that he's strong. And you have to go from faith to faith, and in his time, he will honor you. We have a great God. You can hum along to this. I love this piece. These fellows know how to sing. They sing a cappella. Hum along with them tonight, if you will. David, can you play it for us, please? Let's pray. Our Heavenly Father, we thank you so much that you are the great God that they've been singing about. And Father, we just ask that you would give us the courage to live our lives in honor to you, that we might live from faith to faith, trusting in you, depending on you, Lord. You are in control. And when the world around us becomes so difficult, may we always place our eyes and faith on you. Bless us, we pray, as we part. We thank you for this time together. In Jesus' name, amen.